Masechet Shabbos, Perek Beis, Mishnah Gimel. Kol ha'yotze min ha'etz, ein madlikim bo, ela pishtan. Any byproduct of a tree cannot be used for lighting candles except for flax, which technically doesn't even come from a tree, but since the pasuk in Yoshua says, pishtei ha'etz, flax of the tree, the author of the Mishnah comes to teach us that you can use it for the wick of the Shabbos candle. Additionally, anything that comes from a tree does not become contaminated if it itself acts as a tent over something that is contaminated, except for flax, which does become contaminated if it is a tent over something that is tame. The following part of the Mishnah requires some introduction. Any cloth material, which is 3x3 hand breadths, tefachim, is considered a beged, an important article of clothing, and it therefore contracts ritual impurity. It can become tameh. However, if it is less than gimel al gimel tefachim, 3x3 hand breadths, it does not contract ritual impurity because it is not an important article of clothing. There is a disagreement amongst the Tanaim. What happens if you take a cloth that is 3x3 hand breadths and then you roll it up, making it look that it is less than that amount? According to Rabbi Eliezer, the twisting does not change anything, and it is still considered like it is 3x3. But according to Rabbi Akiva, the twisting is the equivalent of diminishing its size to under 3x3, making it no longer susceptible to tumah just by twisting it. An additional introduction is needed, namely, that on Shabbos and Yom Tov, one of the subcategories of muksa is called nolad. Something which was created on Shabbos or Yom Tov is muksa and cannot be handled. Our Mishnah is dealing with a case where Yom Tov falls out on Erev Shabbos. With all these things in mind, the Mishnah says, Pesilas habeget shekipla v'lo yivava. The case is that we have a 3x3 cloth that was twisted before Yom Tov to form a wick, but it was not singed. In general, they used to singe the wicks before they used it, but here they did not. So we have a 3x3 cloth that was twisted before Yom Tov, and it was not singed. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Tmeahi, or Tmeah Ve'en Madlikimba. Rabbi Eliezer says that this wick is Mekabel Tuma. It is susceptible to contracting ritual impurity, as it is technically still 3x3, as we saw Rabbi Eliezer is of opinion that twisting does not change the status of the cloth. So this cloth is still susceptible to ritual impurity, as it is technically still 3x3 hand breadths. Additionally, Rabbi Eliezer says that you cannot use this twisted cloth to light Shabbos candles. Since the minute that you would light the cloth will become diminished to less than 3x3 hand breadths. Changing it from a whole cloth, which is 3x3, to just a fragment of a cloth, which is less than 3x3, renders it into a completely new halachic entity, which is now not susceptible to tumah. And therefore, it would fall under the category of nolad, an item whose form is created anew on Yom Tov, and it is therefore muksa. Since this wick is now rendered muksa, it cannot be used to light Shabbos candles, as the law is that one needs to hold the flame by the wick so the fire will catch on nicely. Which cannot be done if the wick is muksa, you can't hold the flame by the wick. Therefore, Rabbi Eliezer says that it cannot be used for Shabbos candles. However, Rabbi Akiva disagrees. Rabbi Akiva omer tehorai umadlikimba. Rabbi Akiva holds that the actual twisting of the cloth, as we said, The actual twisting of the cloth before Yom Tov already rendered it into a fragment of a cloth which is less than 3 by 3, and it would no longer contract Tumah. Therefore, when one lights this cloth on Yom Tov, no new halachic form of cloth is being created, as Rabbi Akiva holds that the previous, just the twisting before Yom Tov, already changed its form from a cloth of 3 by 3 to a cloth of less than 3 by 3, which would no longer contract Tumah. Therefore, there is no nolad when you light this fire on Yom Tov, and the wick is not muksa. Hence, you can use this wick to light Shabbos candles. Mishnah Dalet. Lo yikov adam shfoferes shel beitza v'imalena shemen v'itnena al pi aner b'shvil shetehei mina tefes. One should not fill an eggshell with oil and place it above a lamp so that the shell will drip oil into the lamp, supplying more oil for later. The reason why one should not do this is that the Tanakhama is afraid that someone will remove the eggshell with the extra oil in it in order to use it for something else, therefore ultimately causing the extinguishing of the flame, which would be the malacha of kibui, extinguishing a flame. The Tanakhama goes so far to prohibit afilu hishalcheres, even if this extra vessel that you're putting near the lamp is made of earthenware, which makes the oil so disgusting that you wouldn't really want to use it for something else. And even though there is such a small concern that you would use it for anything else, the Tanakhama still says you cannot put the extra oil in this kli cheres and put it near the lamp. However, Rabbi Yehuda matir. Rabbi Yehuda allows this practice with the eggshells, as he is not concerned that one will come to remove it. However, the Mishnah continues, even the Tanakhama agrees in the following case. Aval in chibra hayotzer mitchila mutar mipnei shehu kli echad. The Tanakhama agrees that if before Shabbos the eggshell part was made into one vessel with the lamp, not that it is two separate things next to each other, but it's made, formed into one vessel, in that case it would be permitted, since then everyone will realize not to take the extra oil because it is part of the lamp. The Mishnah continues along the same lines. Lo yimali adam es ha-ka'ara shemen v'yitznena b'tzad ha-ner v'yitain rosh ha-pasila b'socha b'shvil shetehei shoeves. One should not fill a bowl with oil and place it near the lamp, then extend the wick from the lamp into the second bowl, so there will be a continuous extra flow of oil. So one should not do this. One should not place the wick from one lamp into another bowl that is filled with oil. This is out of concern that someone, again, will take away the second bowl, causing the fire to extinguish quicker. And once again, Rabbi Yehuda matir. Rabbi Yehuda permits this practice as he is not concerned that someone will come and take the second bowl away.